Do you wonder if a loved one is suffering right now in the burning agony of hell? On the other hand, have you ever felt satisfaction imagining that the soul of someone you don't like is suffering everlasting torment? It's an age-old question. Where do bad people go when they die? Have you ever worried about what will happen to you? Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we help you personally answer this vital question. Will I go to hell?
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
Millions believe that their enemies and even some of their loved ones are burning in the fires of hell right now. Can that be true? Is that what you believe? Now, some churches teach there's no hell, while others believe most will be condemned to flames. Believe it or not, several years ago, a Southern Baptist Home Mission Board study estimated that 7 out of 10 of all Americans are going to hell. Wow. What do you think? You see, on the other hand, it's interesting that the Barna Group found a while back that most Americans don't expect to experience hell firsthand. Just 0.5% expect to go to hell upon their death. So evidently, somebody else is going to hell. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe there is a hell? That's the question we posed on our street interviews. Let's see what several people had to say about it.
If you're saved, you go to heaven, and probably if you're not, you go to hell.
For this short time on earth, to be punished for an eternity doesn't make any sense to me.
I guess having a good place, hell a bad place, nobody want to go to hell. Hell ain't meant for nobody.
As far as afterlife hell, I think there is. I really do. I think there is. You either going to heaven or hell.
What do you believe when it comes to the subject of hell? Is there literally a burning fire in hell? Now, many believe it's just a superstition. So is it really symbolic, just plain fiction, or something else altogether? A recent survey found that a majority not only believe in hell, but believe it's a real place where people who have led bad lives and die without being sorry are eternally punished. Now, it may astonish you to find that this idea of hell is just not true. In fact, while Jesus used the term hell, it's been greatly misunderstood. I hope you'll listen for a moment and discover where today's concept really came from and what your Bible actually teaches. Now, it does talk about judgment, but in a way that's quite different from what you may believe. So let's begin with the concept of hell as a place of punishment. Now, where did that come from? Now, it may surprise you. Christians did not believe in the idea of an ever-burning hell until hundreds of years after Jesus' life and crucifixion. It wasn't a teaching of Jesus or the inspired Word of God. It seems that the first to expound this view was a man named Tertullian, who lived around 200 A.D. Now, about that same time, a Greek manuscript called the Apocalypse of Peter described the lost as they that blasphemed the way of righteousness, and under them was laid fire flaming and tormenting them. Thus shall they ever be tormented. Now, where did they get that out of the Bible? The fact is, they didn't. Ancient Persians, ancient Greeks, and even the philosopher Plato believed in a place where the wicked are punished. Now, those aren't biblical things. Those are traditional things. Those are the things that influenced early Christianity. So by the time you get to 553 AD, the Catholic Council of Constantinople validated the teaching of never-ending punishment for the wicked. Now, here's where the story gets very interesting. Not much of those traditional ideas changed for 1,000 years until someone that you're familiar with came along. His name? Dante. Dante Alighieri. In the 14th century, he wrote an imaginary description of hell in his work, The Divine Comedy. Now, the beginning of that story is known as Dante's Inferno. It's fictional. It's a made-up story, and he describes the 9 circles of hell. You're probably familiar with the dreadful descriptions of the horrors and all these fiery sufferings. Now, he created stunning, unforgettable scenes. But did you know that it barely has any reference to any actual biblical passage? Now, that didn't change the incredible impact of the ideas of what hell is really like. It stirred it up. It cemented the tradition that there's a fiery punishment in an ever-burning hell for the wicked. Now, what's so unfortunate is that most people influenced by Dante's vivid imagination really have no idea just how little of what he wrote has anything to do with the actual teachings of Jesus Christ. In fact, how would you summarize Dante's effect on the concept of hell? I don't think it's an overstatement to say that he had greater impact on the belief of the torments of hell than Jesus Christ himself. You see, popular tradition has replaced the biblical truth about hell. The concept of hell in most ways has become a matter of tradition. Now, if we fast forward 200 years after Dante, Martin Luther regarded hell as a real place, but he believed the torment was figurative. He said that hell's worst agonies were the terror and utter despair of spending eternity cut off from God. But wait a minute. Is that tradition or truth? You see, that theory is not based on the truth of Jesus' teaching either. Now, I hope you don't minimize the influence that these wrong teachings have had even to this very day. Now, here's an example. A while ago, the Barna Research Group reported that 4 out of 10 adults believe that hell is a state of eternal separation from God's presence. They also found that 1 in 8 adults believe that hell is just a symbol of an unknown bad outcome after death. Now, here's another idea. As crazy as it may seem, half of all atheists and agnostics say that hell exists. Now, those are people that don't even believe in God. So it can be very confusing. What is it? Now, maybe you think you already know all about what hell really is. Now, if you really want understanding, if you really want to know, you have to ask the question, what about tradition? Is tradition real? And what does the truth of Jesus' teaching all about? What is God's instruction on this? Are you unsure? Maybe you're confused. Maybe you're worried. Maybe you're disconcerted about your loved ones. Maybe you've always wondered about it. Don't feel alone, because it can be difficult to know where to start. So to help, we have a booklet called Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? This booklet will help you really understand what Jesus taught. You can go online to beyondtoday.tv to download it, read it, or request your free copy of Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? You can click or you can call us toll free. The call is free, 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. As always, we provide all of our publications free of charge as an educational service. Now, this booklet will help you answer the tough questions in detail, such as, will a loving God punish people forever in hell? And what about that Bible story of Lazarus and the rich man? Some people believe that the story of Lazarus proves there's a fiery hell. Now, we don't have time to cover it on the program today, but our booklet has an important section that explains what that story really means. Now, you need to be sure and order a copy. You need to know these things. So, you need some peace of mind, need some comfort and encouragement. Get this booklet. Find out the truth, because there is no doubt eternal torment is a frightening subject. But don't be taken in by tradition. Get the truth. Our booklet will help you truly understand it. Also, remember, you can follow us on Twitter. You can join our Beyond Today Facebook page as well. I hope you'll log on. Leave us a comment, suggest a topic for a future program, or just ask us a question. It is amazing how many different ideas about the eternal tortures of hell that are out there. Yet these ideas are not found in your Bible. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, it tells us to beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, it may surprise you. If you're going to properly understand the Bible's teaching about hell, first you have to ask, which hell are we talking about? Now, that may sound kind of strange, But did you know that there are four words for hell in your Bible? Now, those four words have three different meanings. Let's talk about them for a moment. The first two words, translated hell in the King James Version, simply means grave or a pit. That's the Hebrew word Sheol in the Old Testament, and it means the same as the Greek word Hades in the New Testament. In fact, the New International Version of the Bible always translates Sheol as grave, never as that confusing word hell. Most don't realize that the majority of scriptures that use the term hell are plainly talking about the grave and certainly not some fiery torment. Now, we can easily answer that by saying, is anyone burning in Sheol? Is anyone burning in Hades? Or literally, is anyone burning in the grave that's been buried in the grave? Is there anyone burning there? No, no one's burning there. Now, if we go to that third word translated as hell in your Bible, we find that it's based on the Greek word Tartarus. That word is only found one time in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell," that's that word Tartarus, "and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." You see, tear apart that scripture, and it's pretty plain, pretty self-explanatory. It refers to a condition of restraint. Now, who does it apply to? Obviously not human beings, but rather fallen angels. It applies to demons. The Apostle Peter used that reference to Greek folklore to show that sinning angels are in a condition or a place of restraint. They're awaiting their ultimate judgment for their rebellion against God and their destructive influence on humanity. And so far we've seen that hell can describe a pit or a grave, and it can refer to the confinement of sinful angels. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The last word, the word that Jesus used, it does refer to a fiery place of judgment. Aha, you might say. Now, let's notice the word that's used. The word is Gehenna. This word is derived from the Hebrew Gehinnom, which refers to the Valley of Hinnom, just outside of Jerusalem. Now, here's where the confusion has come in. If we go back to the time of Jesus, this valley was what we might call the city dump. That's the place where the garbage and the trash, the refuse, everything was thrown there, all the junk, and it was consumed in the fires that constantly burned there. The carcasses of dead animals and even the bodies of some despicable criminals were sometimes cast into Gehenna to be burned. So Jesus used this location and what took place there to help us understand the punishment the wicked will suffer in the future. In fact, Jesus specifically referred to Gehenna in Mark chapter 9, verse 43. He said, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better to enter eternal life with only one hand than to go into unquenchable flames of hell with two hands." Now, that word translated hell, the one that Jesus used in this passage, is Gehenna. It refers to the fact that unrepentant sinners will be cast into a lake of fire comparable to Gehenna, that burning garbage dump. The fire's not quenched. Why not? Well, because it will keep burning until the bodies of the wicked, like the trash in the old Gehenna, are consumed. You see, an unquenched fire is one that's not extinguished. Does it burn forever then? No. It burns itself out when it consumes everything and has no more combustible material to keep it going. It's like some forest fires today. They just burn till there's no more wood to burn. It's not quenched because it goes out by itself when everything's burned up. Now, after thinking about that passage, is it possible that you may have read right over that passage in the Bible, or perhaps took for granted what your church or maybe even what your parents taught you as a child as being the truth? Well, think about that for a minute, because there's another passage that you shouldn't overlook. It's in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. It explains what will happen to the wicked. "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts." You see, there will be punishment for the wicked, absolutely. But is it an ever-burning hellfire? No. As their punishment, evildoers will be burned up. Not eternal torture, but a merciful, a quick penalty. The incorrigible will not burn forever. Instead, they'll be totally burned up. They'll be destroyed. They'll be reduced to ashes by the flames of the lake of fire. Now, that's what Jesus taught. Now, it might be surprising, but God's Word teaches that those who willfully choose to reject God's way of life will die. They won't suffer forever. Those who choose not to repent of their evil attitude and sin, they will be punished by fire, but not the mythical hellfire of men's imagination. It's because God is a God of mercy. He's a God of love. The wicked will be consumed by fire and it'll be over. They'll be forgotten. They won't be tortured for all eternity. They'll receive their eternal punishment, but not eternal punishing. Their death, their eternal punishment, will last forever, but not the punishing. You see, the truth of the Bible should be encouraging. It should encourage you because it shows that God indeed is a being of fantastic mercy, wonderful wisdom, righteous judgment. So don't get bogged down with fabricated traditions, but take comfort, take encouragement in what Jesus really taught in the truth of your Bible. Now, there's so much more to talk about on this topic, but first, we have a special offer for you. It's the Good News Magazine. This magazine contains important articles that will help you understand Bible topics, such as the one we're talking about today, about hell. What does the Bible really teach, and how do you make sense of it? The Good News Magazine, it will help give you insight into the issues. That's why you should order your own subscription to The Good News. You can call us free, 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Remember, all of our publications are provided free of charge as an educational service. In fact, you can also order your free subscription on the web at beyondtoday.tv, where you can search through our literature archives and really do an in-depth study on this topic of hell. Now, if you'd like some behind-the-scenes information, you can join our Beyond Today Facebook page, or you can follow us on Twitter. Go online, leave us a comment, suggest a topic for a future program, even ask us a question. And don't forget, set your DVR, set your TiVo to record Beyond Today so you can watch us at your convenience. Now, we've just scratched the surface of the amazing fact that the doctrine of hell has been molded by the ideas of men. Most believe a mixture of bits of Bible truth, combined with common misconceptions, non-Christian ideas, and plain old human imagination. Now, we're going to talk about this and discuss it quite a bit more, and we're joined by fellow Beyond Today host, Darris McNeely. Now, as we consider this topic, we realize that Jesus taught some very different things about the topic of hell than what most churches teach today, what most people believe today. There isn't an ever-burning hell. The Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus didn't refer to that. But I think it certainly leaves the question then, what does happen to the wicked?
Well, see, the wicked cease to exist. That is part of God's perfect plan that he has revealed very clearly in the Scriptures. The wicked do cease to exist. It's a matter, I think, of understanding what the wicked, who that wicked group are. Sometimes people think that people who are unchurched, unsaved, have not accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in this life or at this time will be part of that, which creates a great deal of confusion. But the wicked in the Scriptures that referred to that will be burned up, cease to exist, are really a class of people who've rejected God, made a conscious decision, not out of ignorance, not out of anything beyond their control, but have had an opportunity to really know God, His plan, His purpose, and to know the true God, and they make a decision not to accept and obey God. They fall in the category of the people that Christ referred to as those who commit the sin of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Now, that is a very small group of people relative to all who've ever lived, but it is a distinct class of people who make a conscious choice.
Like those that know better, they understand.
They truly know better, yes.
They know better, but then they still choose to go against God. They understand His truth, they understand His way, then maybe even understand His calling, but yet say...
Christ would never have said that statement to a group of people who were in ignorance because they'd never had a chance to know Him. He was talking about people who had a full chance and turned from obedience and, in a sense, blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Those sins cannot be forgiven.
Now, what's interesting about that is it's a totally different concept than what traditionally is taught out there.
Yes.
Totally different than the eternal torments of hell that last forever and ever. But it doesn't change the fact that these people are destroyed, they're annihilated, they're burned up, they're done, they had an opportunity, they turned against it. But it still begs the question then, how can a loving God do that? If God is really merciful, if he's all loving, well, why would he destroy people then?
Because he is a merciful God. He is all loving, but he's also a God of judgment. Judgment is a part of the scripture that is a part of the plan of God. There is a time of accountability for one's actions. And again, taking it to that group and that category, that judgment will be rendered. It's an act of love. In one sense, a person who comes to the point where they do not want God in their life and make that conscious decision and reject God have reached a state of mental depravity, that the punishment God does mete out is an act of love, because that person really doesn't want to live in a world where God is and will be all that there is. And God's way and God's perfect plan will dominate and will be the only way. That mind is incompatible, mm-hmm. and it cannot exist. And so God, in a sense, puts them out of their misery. So it is an act of love when you understand the full breadth and the full depth of God's purpose and what he is bringing to pass in his plan with mankind.
Yeah, I suppose in some ways, you know, God holds us accountable. There's a personal
yes.
responsibility that we have to take. If we're given, you know, a fantastic gift, you know, we're accountable to take care of it.
Yes.
And if we don't take care of it, if God's given us a beautiful opportunity for eternal life and we turn against that and willingly put it right back in his face, well, it does show that.
And that's what the Bible is referring to in that way. It is wrong for theology, for religious people to concoct an idea of an ever-burning hell fire to scare people, to torment people, and to misrepresent God.
Right, that's an interesting... And that's the way it was used so many times,
especially
in the Middle Ages.
Oh, yes.
Forced people that way.
Yeah, it was misused by the church.
Now, here's another misconception I think that we should talk about for just a minute, is this idea of when does that happen? Most people have a concept that when they die, they either go to heaven or hell.
Mm-hmm.
But what does Jesus really teach about that fact? What happens to the wicked, or when are they punished?
When they are punished is after a period of time that the book of Revelation describes as a millennial or period of Christ's reign on this earth.
So not when they die?
No. As you pointed out, when one dies, they go to the grave. That is another description of hell, but it is a grave where their thoughts perish. The time of the punishment of the wicked takes place beyond this messianic reign.
After Christ has returned.
After he's returned, it's more than 1,000 years later that we begin to read about in the timeline a time when this lake of fire will consume the wicked, the same lake of fire that Jesus Christ did talk about, outlined again and talked about in Revelation chapter 20.
Certainly a time of judgment.
A time of judgment. The word there, that is taken from that word Gehenna, which is a reference to what Jesus' listeners in his day clearly understood was a reference to the Valley of Hinnom, a place just outside the city walls of Jerusalem, where, as you said, the bodies were taken, where refuse was taken, and where fires continually burned. That was the reference he was referring to. And people heard it, they referenced it, they thought about it, and they understood that particular foul place that wasn't where they built their homes and recreated in one sense. But what they also would have understood is that everything was consumed.
That's what it was going to be like.
Everything was burned up and ceased to exist. It didn't burn forever and ever and ever. And that's what they understood from the concept of the lake of fire, from Gehenna or the Valley of Hinnom. It's very interesting. You can go to Jerusalem today, and you can walk through the Valley of Hinnom. I've done that. Many people do. You can walk through hell, if you will, in that location. And today, it's an interesting contrast, because it is no longer a place where refuse is burned. It's rather a park. Parts of it are a rather park-like setting. I was there a few years ago and walked the entire length of it, and there's a children's school there. And children were outside actually being taught by their instructor at the time in a park-like setting. So you get a contrast. You recognize that even as you understand, there will be a lake of fire, the wicked will be consumed at a point in time. Beyond that, God's plan and purpose continues on for the righteous. And
that's the good news
of it, yes. And you also understand that from the the concept that he has there of the hell fire, the lake of fire that is described there. It consumes the wicked, but God's plan goes on.
Right. Now, one thing that we probably should talk about real quickly, just a couple of seconds, is the fact that, okay, I understand some of this stuff. It's something new. It's different. Does it really matter? What difference does it really make?
It matters because it's truth. It matters because it is the truth. Christ said the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. Steve, we are pastors. We officiate at funerals a lot. I always mention that reference because there's always people sitting out in a funeral wondering at times about the fate of their loved one, or that person is in that coffin. Are they in heaven or are they in hell? If they were a bad person, did bad things, maybe they're wondering if they didn't accept Christ, they're in hell. I always, you know, tell them, no, they're not in hell. The truth sets you free. That's why it's important. The truth will set you free from ignorance, error, undue suffering about yourself, about a loved one that's already died, and about the future. Christ does not want us to have a mental problem of fear because of the misunderstanding based on erroneous teaching about this subject.
Yeah, and that's an important point. I think you've got to understand the truth, and you need some help. So we hope you'll remember our free offers today. They're designed to help you as you study. In fact, we've got this free booklet, Heaven and Hell, What Does the Bible Really Teach? It'll help you grasp the truth as opposed to these traditional ideas and teachings that we are all familiar with on hell. It's written to help you know the facts. What did Jesus really teach? And of course, don't forget your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. It's a magazine that will help you understand Bible topics and how the Bible applies to what's going on in the world today. The Good News will help you to get to know your God even better with all kinds of articles that are really relevant to your life. So remember, all of our publications are provided free of charge as an educational service. So call us toll free 1-888-886-8632 or go online to beyondtoday.tv. In fact, don't forget to look us up on Beyond Today Facebook page and get more information. You can follow us on Twitter as well. Set your DVR, TiVo us. Record Beyond Today so you can watch us at your convenience. Now, when it comes to the topic of eternal punishment, first remember, God is a God of mercy. He's a God of love. Only those who willingly and willfully reject His way will cease to exist. They won't suffer forever in hellfire. They won't be tortured for eternity. Your Bible clearly states they'll be consumed by fire and forgotten. Now imagine that. Even the final death of the wicked in the lake of fire is an act of judgment and mercy on God's part. Because God has planned a wonderful future. In fact, you need to know about that future. Read your Bible. Request our free literature and read it. There is hope. There is comfort if you'll listen and then act on what you know. Now that's our program for today. If you missed some of it, go online. Catch the whole program at beyondtoday.tv. Don't forget our free offers and be sure to join us next time. For Beyond Today, I'm Steve Myers. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.